We have a number of things in the book of Judges. I think I mentioned this. I don't think I've ever preached on the book of Judges or spoken on it. It's quite interesting. And if you want to have some gory details, you should read the book of Judges, you know? You want to hear a war pattern, you know, things they did in military, you should read Judges. So, but anyhow, I'll disclose a couple of those a little later. Some juicy details. So there were 350 years of Judges from Joshua to the first king, which would be Samuel. So between Joshua and their election of the first king is 350 years. And what happens in that 350 years, they kind of, it's called drifting. Now, I saw advertisements for cars drifting around the track, you know, going sideways and all that kind of stuff. But this drifting is more like out on the ocean, just drift. You don't know where you're going, whatever the wind blows, wherever the current goes, that's where you're going. And so there's no direction, so they're drifting. And so whenever they have the blessing of God in their life, God brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, you know, manna in the wilderness, conquered Jericho, the walls fell down. But that was their grandfather. Now, what do we need that stuff for? You know, why do we have to have that religion? So let's read Judges chapter 2. And excuse me for reading too long. On the next reading I do, I'm going to do it on the phone so you can hear it and not have all this raspiness. If you hear raspiness, fix your hearing aid. That's a joke. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. Now, one of the scriptures says, Israel sinned because they did what they wanted to do and they broke God's commands. All right? So when they broke God's commands, they were breaking their relationship with God. So when people break the commandments of God knowingly, they are, you know, God is saying, okay, you can go on your own. So, and verse 12, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. So remember, they were supposed to go into the promised land, drive out all the people. Well, the reason God wanted the people out was those people had gods and practices and civil actions that they did that were contrary to the things that God wanted done. And remember, going way back, Abraham was promised this land, and God told Abraham, their iniquity is not yet full. So 400 years later, they come back and they're taking the nation because these people were very wicked. And he's telling they're supposed to drive them out, get the sin out of their land, and occupy the land. But they didn't. So they abandoned the Lord. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the land of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them to harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. So they didn't make it on their own. The enemies that they thought they could overrun and keep away, well, when God withdrew his presence from them, they were just as vulnerable as anyone else. So in our life, you're not vulnerable to all the things in life because God's hand's upon you. Remember that. See, what we learn from these texts, it's more than just stories of ancient Israel. It's stories about portraying to us how God protected Israel and how that when they rebelled against God, well, God just withdrew his protection. So we don't ever have to worry about being forsaken. Jesus says, I will not abandon you. I will never leave you as an orphan. See, he's always there with us. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, okay, that's where we're at in the book of Judges, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers. Going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them, they did not drop any of their practices, their stubborn ways. So what we have with Israel is they have a pattern, a cycle. You know, people have, well, okay, well, everybody, we can say our whole life is cyclic. That, you know, even our emotional life, you know, women can look at their cycle for a month. You know, they have ups and downs and, you know, the cycle for the month. And then men have generally cycles in 2-3 months. But anyhow, you run cycles where you're up, you're down, you may have a bad day, you have a good day. And so the key is to know when you're having a bad day, don't make decisions. That's not a day to make decisions. Now, everybody has bad days. So, you know, get used to it. But what happens is our bad days are not as bad as those who don't have God. See, a bad day for a Christian is in no way comparable to a bad day with a non-Christian, because they have no hope. There's no one guiding their life. There's no one in charge of where they're going. So always remember, God is in charge, and he is the one who's to receive the glory. So Israel sins. This was their cycle. The judge had died. So what happens to the people? They're drifting. They sin. Israel sin. God gives them into oppression. So when they sin, God withdraws his protection from them. You want to be on your own? You don't want me? Okay, you're on your own. Well, then the neighboring countries, the neighboring the people from Bedford attack Wimber. You know, about the same side of the fort in Bedford attacks the fort in Wimber, you know, and the fort in Wimber was God's place, but they left God, so they got conquered. So they are oppressed. They are the people, the Israelites are oppressed. They cry out to God, God, save us, God, save us. So what does God do? God raises a deliverer. A deliverer is a judge. He comes in, draws the people's attention back to God. The judge is used to drive out the enemy, and there's a battle where something goes on, and they drive out the enemy, and Israel the fort is secure, the people are secure, and after 30, 40 years, the judge dies, and so what happens? They return to their corruption. They didn't learn their lesson. So the text does not say God abandoned them. Okay? It says the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, but God didn't just, you know, fall off the earth and we'll start over again. If you've ever wondered about God's commitment to you, right? If you've ever thought about how much God loves you and is committed to you, you need to read the book of Judges. Because we see in the book of Judges that Israel had done how they had broken their covenant and how they had broken their agreements with God, but God didn't give up on them. God didn't give up on the nation of Israel. He's still there. And, you know, for today and the wars that's going on around over in the Middle East, God hasn't given up on the nation of Israel. They're still, you know, they're still his people. His chosen people, meaning that God chose to use them to display who he is. And it isn't that they are better than or less than, but God has used them, and they are small and they are weak. But God being with them, they are a mighty fortress. So they drifted, the Israelites, they drifted apart from God. They left God behind. They a drift is not usually rebellion. It is at first forgetfulness. You know, there's this story years ago. Only the old people know this one. So if you know it, you know you're old. Cars did not have bucket seats. They had bench seats. Okay? All right, they had bench seats. So this couple driving down the road, and they've been married a while, and the lady's reminiscing about the way things used to be, how that they were close, how that they would sit by each other and, you know, go down the road and all that stuff. And finally, the guy says, well, I haven't moved. I didn't move. Yeah, you moved. You know? The idea is that God is faithful, and he doesn't move away from us. You know, we're the ones who drift. So that can be something you can stick somewhere that you'll never remember again. That would be good. So the challenge, the teaching point is for the book of Judges is that we become complacent. We become complacent because, you know, God is here. God is with us. We work. We make money. We pay taxes. We, you know, we do our best to manage our funds. And, you know, we become complacent. Well, where's God in all this? Well, God is in all of this. And it's God who is with us in all of this. Now, we find that we become complacent. We become forgetful of what God has done and where he has brought us from. We don't remember the good things that God has done. You know, we have to remember that events can trigger memory. Events can trigger memory. And so if we have difficult memories, difficult things that have come up in our life, and the events spur up those difficulties, we have to remember that when that happens, we're going to drift. So we have to come to grips with it and hold on to the truth that God has given to us. Now, here's a bit of information. Now, I'm someone who is much more intellectual than I, that whenever Babylon, remember back when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, took all those guys to Babylon, okay? They were there, and the prophet said that they would be in captivity 70 years. So the whole nation was taken to Babylon. Okay, 70 years later, they found the prophecy that the Persians defeated the Babylonians and gave them permission to go back. Only part of them went back. 50%, I'm not sure. There is not a majority. And so where is that place today? It's called Iran. And there is a large Jewish population from the Babylonian Empire that's still in Iran. Didn't know that, huh? So we look at this and we see the battles and all this that's going on. And it's been 50 years of disputes and battles and wars and things like that. But it's important to remember it's important to remember God doesn't forget his people. And how this plays out, we don't know, I don't know. But we know that God never forsakes his people. Because we're God's people. Now, we turn that over to us. God never forgets, never forsakes you. Because you are his child. So as we look at this, these judges and look at Israel, we see how that God stuck with them, even in their own rebellion, even in the ways that they walked away from God, God stayed with them and helped them. So we find in Judges 3, verse 7, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served Baals and Ashtaroth. Now, Baal, this is nuts. Baal is a fertility god, okay? And he is also the god of rain and crops and growth. So what do you think a fertility god, what do you think they offer to a fertility god? Their kids. So they would sacrifice their children to a god they said was a fertility god, and they would kill their kids at Baal. And then Ashtaroth, she's considered a female goddess, and it was a pole. I think of it as a totem pole, but probably without designs. And these people would worship this pole as a symbol of their god. And Israel having the God that brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, conquered Jericho, defeated all their enemies, had all this going on for them, and they forgot. They forgot what God had done for them. And who did they start worshiping? They started sacrificing their kids to the Baal. And they worshiped a pole. You just wonder what people are thinking. But we see that in our own society. You just wonder what people are thinking. So, therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushana, Rush, Ah, Thy Urn. That's as far as I go. I wrote it down how it's pronounced, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Rush, Ah, Thy Urn. Anyhow, king of northwest Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cush and 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them. Othniel, the son of Kenza, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cush, king of Mesopotamia, into his hands. And his hands prevailed over Cush, so the land had restored for 40 years. So what happens is, they went into captivity. These guys were, foreign king was taking them, selling them, oppressing them, taking all their food. And so it was just the time they cried out unto the Lord. God sent them a judge. Now, a judge. A judge is a covenant enforcer. He is a judge. It's not a civil judge like we have. A judge at that time was one who would come to the people and remind them of the agreement that God had made with them and they had made with God. Remember back in Joshua, they said, Caleb says, we're going to serve the Lord. Who's going to with? And all the people cried out, we will serve the Lord, all of our children. Well, these generations later, they forgot. The judge would come and say, hey, you need to bring your life back to God, and God will rescue you. So then we have, he was a military leader. A judge was one who led the people in battle, and a spiritual reformer brought them into a place where they would seek God and remind them of their commitment to God. A judge was not inventing something new. He was reminding them of what the promises had already been given. Spirit of the Lord came upon them. It means that God's Spirit came to rest upon them. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and abides with believers. You know, the Holy Spirit is with all of us. Since the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit descended upon the upper room, and they were all filled with the Spirit. And since then, the Spirit has been with every one of us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people that they had a mission, they had something that they were to accomplish, and the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they would respond to that, and they were judges, they were leaders, they were able to go into battle and defeat their enemy. It was a great thing. So, Othniel did not win his battles because he was capable. He won his battles because God enabled him. This is where we have the Spirit in our life. God enables us. God gives us wisdom. And we'll go on here. It was a divine initiative. And so they kept him for 40 years. Well, why did it last 40 years? The guy died. So they were strong in their faith for 40 years. They had spiritual leadership. In our life, spiritual leadership. Being committed to Christ, committed to our faith and our way with Him. Now, how much time I have left? Let's do Judges 4, Deborah and Barak.
Judges 4, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The command of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years.
Okay, you know why I didn't want to read this? Did you see that guy's name? Harosheth Hagoyim. I wasn't trying to pronounce that one. So anyhow, Sisera is the commander. They've been oppressing Israel for 20 years. Israel, what'd they do? They were drifting again away from God.
Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippadoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go."
Isn't that a leader? Okay, what happens is, so Deborah is a prophetess. She's a judge in Israel. And people would come to her, and she sat under the palm tree at such and such a place, and people would bring their questions and problems. She would help with civil matters, individual matters, the whole works. But she tells Barak, "You go, you're supposed, God told you to go to battle against Sisera, and you are to take 10,000 men from two tribes and go do battle." Well, what happens is Sisera told Barak, the son, that he had gone to Mount Tabor. Sisera called out all of his chariots, 900 chariots of iron. I mean, this was a great fortress. I mean, they would just roll over infantry. Well, so you got 10,000 men, and you've got 900 chariots and soldiers and everything with it. So how did they get defeated? God sent them to Mount Tabor, and in the valley of Mount Tabor, it's kind of like a marsh, but there's a crust on it. And so what happens is, when you have men running over it, there's no mud. But when you got horses and heavy chariots running and, you know, turning and going over the land, what happens? It becomes a quagmire. And so the chariots couldn't run against the infantry, and the 10,000 guys overran Sisera, and they defeated Sisera in that place. But to those of you who want to know the good detail, Sisera gets off of his chariot. He runs to a place that he thinks that he's safe. And so he sees this woman, Baal, B-J-L, the wife of Heber. And he goes into her tent. That is the no-no. You know, no man can go into another man's wife's tent. All right, so he committed a big no-no. He goes into the tent, and he wants a drink. She gives him some milk, you know. He goes to sleep. She puts a blanket over him, and then she drives a tent peg through his temple. She just, oh, boom, you know. She nails him to the ground. And so whenever Barak, you know, he's coming and see, you know, coming after the army. Where's Sisera? Where's Sisera? Remember what Deborah told him? You will do this, but you will not get the credit for the victory, because God will give it to a woman. And the woman was the lady who drove the stake through the guy's head and nailed him to the ground. Isn't that good? Now, there's another one. I'll leave him for maybe another day. I gotta find his name. Well, Deborah was renewing the covenant. So we cannot allow God's goodness to be left out of our life. We need to be thankful. We need to pray. We need to have the Beatitudes. We need to have a right attitude about ourselves and about our relationship with God. So the battle in the Middle East. Okay, how is that? You see, all of this that goes on over in the Middle East is important because it's setting things up for the end time. The end time is when the Antichrist will rule for 7 years, and there will be this battle between Gog and Magog, a capital and a king. Then he's going to come out of the north, and whether that's Russia or whomever, we don't really know. He comes down upon Israel. But the land of Israel is more than just that little strip. it was given to Israel is much larger way back when God gave it to them. So what's going to happen in the future? Well, there's many prophetic messages, and I'm not the king of knowledge of prophetic things, but it's important for us to understand we are getting close to the end, meaning that Jesus could return at any time. Now, we don't need to worry about that, because whenever we'll be standing here, and the next thing you know, we'll be in heaven. That's a good thing. He'll come for us. But you don't want to be one of those people like Israel, forgetting about God, drifting in your relationship with God, drifting in your spiritual relationship. You don't want to be drifting. And that's why it's important for us to study the Judges and see how that God brought people into the life of the children of Israel to bring them back to their right relationship with God and to keep them safe. So Judges 5 makes it explicit that the Lord marched out. God fought for them, just like he fought at Jericho. And we think about it in our own lives. God fights for you. God goes before you. See, we think of meekness, not weakness. God is there to be our strength under control, that we have a purpose, we have a plan for us. And so Othniel shows us that the spirit-empowered obedience brings rest. Deborah shows us God will use willing vessels when others hesitate. So the peace never lasts with the children of Israel. Why? Because their heart has a tendency to drift. And some people have a tendency to be really good for God, and then their heart has a tendency to drift. And what God is saying to us, don't drift. Don't let yourself be caught up in this drifting motion relationship with God. God hasn't forgotten. God hasn't forgotten the blessing that he has promised, the reward that he has promised for your life. He hasn't changed his plans for you one bit. So as we are allowing God to speak to our hearts, we see the hand of God moving upon us. And so Deborah says, respond when God calls. Don't hesitate. So when she told Barak, you know, get out there, he says, well, if you go with me, I'll go. So he had faith interjected with fear. And, so if you do it, I'll do it. Well, our faith is something that we do because God speaks to our heart, and God will provide for us. So what are we taking away from this? 30 seconds. What do we take away from this part of Judges? You know, are we seeing how that God worked through individuals to touch them and to lead Israel? Deborah, Barak, and Othniel. So we see how these individuals, God touched them and led them. So we'll continue perhaps this series next week too, and talk about Samson. He's one of my favorites. And see how God used him at his time in the history of Israel. But remember, God has a plan. And Israel, God has a plan for Israel. And God will not lose. Israel will not lose. The Middle East will be changed, but God will always have be the victor in what happens. So think about what we've talked on and come up with an idea. So what did you come up with? What thoughts do you take home from this? What's that? Don't drift. No drifting allowed. But, yep. Isn't it interesting? I think it's interesting. And, you know, all that, and these people, I didn't bring it up, I skipped it. But these individuals that are mentioned in the scriptures, they have found I think it's Barak, they found a pottery with the jug, the neck, had his name on it. You know, now they don't know if it was this guy or not, but it's from the same time period in the same region where they would have done this battle. And they found the pottery that has his name on it. I mean, you know, it's just so many things are happening. And you know, it's like, it's just affirming, you know, we don't have to have, you know, something to affirm that our belief is right. But since this archaeological, the digs and so on that are going on, there's just things, you know, one thing after another they're discovering that ties into the scripture, ties into the Egyptian history and Israel's coming into the promised land. There's just tons of this information. And if you like to watch that stuff, go to Biblical archaeology, I think it's what it's called. Biblical archaeology. And they have, I don't know how many different series that they've done on digs and things that they've come up with. Associates for Biblical Research, ABR. That's their title. God, we thank you that our faith, it is established in your word. And Lord, you told us that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. So we thank you for how that you are working, and Lord, the evidence of your word and the historicity of your word, we find that it is real. It is more up to date than any of the history books. And we thank you that you provide your word to us, your spirit. And Lord, we just ask you to guide us as we serve you. And Lord, we know that you have a plan and a purpose, not only for each of our lives, but Lord, for our planet, for our government, and for this trials that's going on overseas. Protect, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.